Hey everybody, and welcome to the PC Gamer Show. My name is Tom Marks, your host as always. Here with me today is Tyler Wilde, executive editor here at PC Gamer. How you doing, Tyler?
Pretty good. I'm using this Dell XPS that Wes gave me. And the camera, interestingly, because the bevel is so small, is at the bottom. So you're looking up at me, like if I put it down, you can see my fingers typing.
It's pretty weird. It's funny that they would make a keyboard that you can see, or they would make a computer that you can see the keyboard, like, in the webcam.
I know. It's kind of weird. But that's the trade-off for the super small bevel here. It's a nice laptop, so.
As those of you who are observant might have noticed, we are on Skype today. California decided to rain really hard this week, so we're in a little bit of a storm. We're going to be doing the last show of 2015 from home over Skype, and it will just be me and Tyler today. It's a nice lonely day because Wes is off on holiday, and Tim is leaving tomorrow. Everyone's abandoning us, Tyler.
I know. It's such a busy time of the year, and then everyone has to go see their dang families. Like, what's up with that?
Yeah, seriously. Who needs families?
Really, we have PC games to talk about, which are far more important.
Well, let's talk about PC games, and let's talk about this year. That's what we're going to be doing today on the show. We're going to be talking about our Game of the Year awards from 2015. We're also going to be having a Cat Fantastic quiz that I have created just for Tyler. It's going to be a good time.
I guess I can't lose, right?
You might. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I'll still be the best player.
Yes. You'll be in first place by the end of it.
Sweet.
We know that.
Beautiful.
Then we'll be talking also about games that are worth going back for, maybe games that came out at the beginning of the year or came out at some point that are good enough that we just missed. Personally, that is. Not PC Gamer as a whole. Just like games like I haven't played Undertale yet is an example of that.
Dang it, Tom. I feel like a crazy person on the staff because I'm the only one who's like, yeah, Undertale's great.
No, James, like, James likes it too.
Yeah, I don't think he's finished it though. Maybe he has. He might be watching. Well, no, he's probably on an airplane going to see family.
We can shun him for that later. Then we'll also be talking about what we're going to be playing over the holiday break, which we'll be going on break as of Thursday for all of next week as well. And then we'll be taking your questions from Twitch chat if you are here present with us live. So first, though, let's go into our now playing section. But I wanted to talk specifically about, I know what your answer is. It's always Rocket League, right?
Yeah, it's always Rocket League. And that's all I played this year.
This is now a running joke with the show. But yeah. I want to talk specifically on now playing really fast about Rocket League's new hockey mode, which they added, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, and we didn't bring up on the show last week.
Yeah, it was last Monday.
Okay, so last Monday.
I liked it. I think it's a testament to, like, how well they got that basic vanilla mode, that's all I really want to play. And, I mean, some of it is I've spent, like, 100 hours honing my skills at, like, basic Rocket League. And so anything else just feels like a distraction, a diversion. But I did have fun playing Snow Day, the hockey mode. Basically, all it does is now the ball's a puck, and it's heavy, and it kind of flops around.
It slides.
Yeah, it doesn't catch a lot of air. So there are fewer aerials. Mostly it kind of like slides up on the walls. And my wall game in Rocket League is really bad. I suck at hitting the ball off the wall, so it's a good way to practice that. But ultimately, I don't think I'm going to play it a whole lot more compared to how much I play just vanilla Rocket League.
Honestly, I wasn't a huge fan of it, and I think it's like you said originally, like, it is a testament to how fun just normal Rocket League is because it's not like this hockey mode was not good. It's just I was disappointed that there wasn't I was disappointed you didn't slide around, you know, that the ice
doesn't
affect the cars.
Yeah, the ice doesn't really change anything there. And regular Rocket League is already so much like hockey to me. I mean, you have the – it's not like hockey in that the ball, you know, bounces into the air and you kind of do headers.
That doesn't do – that's not in hockey?
Yeah, that doesn't – I mean, it does get into the air, but they just grab it and drop it. But it is a lot like hockey in that you have those fights kind of along the boards and, you know, you have checking. You have a lot of clearing and dump-ins, which are all hockey things. But, yeah, the puck doesn't – I guess the puck makes it more like hockey in that you get those kind of sloppy goals and you get to try to slide it around. I noticed a lot of, like, a lot more, like, short-distance passing and interceptions and stuff. So that was pretty cool. If I put 100 hours into that first, I might be like, yes, this is great. Yeah, I put 100 hours into Vanilla Rocket League first, so that's kind of what I keep wanting to go back to.
Yeah.
Maybe I should give it more of a chance, you know, maybe I just, like, needed people to get better at it and myself to get better at it for it to be more fun. Because when I played it first on last Monday when it came out, so everyone was just kind of not really sure what to do.
Yeah, it does seem like the mode where if everybody knows what they're doing, it'll be more fun. And I think that's kind of also just the case with a lot of, like, most competitive games. You know, when everybody's just kind of running around with the chickens with their head cut off, it's not nearly as amusing unless it's, like, Gang Beasts, you know? That game works.
Yeah, I mean, that you're kind of supposed to be screwing around. Yeah, that's why it's so hard to, like, at E3, you know, you'll get in line and get into like, a game like Evolve or something, which they had at E3 at least a couple years in a row. But it's so hard to get good impressions, you know, from a game like that, from, like, if you just play one round or two rounds, because no one knows what they're doing. And a game like Rainbow Six Siege, for instance, is not going to be, like, super fun if everyone's just kind of shooting at the floor and doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, we don't have to talk about Rocket League too long. I've been playing a game. I mean, it's true. We talk about Rocket League a lot on this show.
It's so good.
It is really good. And I've been playing a game I'm unfortunately not allowed to talk about yet. So you'll hear more about that in January.
Secrets.
And I'll talk a little bit more about also some developer guests that we'll be having on in January at the end of the show. But right now, one of the reasons we like talking about Rocket League so much is that it did just win our Multiplayer Game of the Year award.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, I'll drop the link into chat right now, but if you go to PCGamer.com, we have a whole bunch of Game of the Year awards that we're giving out, and you can find them all in the link I just dropped, but our main Game of the Year, and we haven't announced them all yet, our main Game of the Year for 2015 was Metal Gear Solid 5. Which some people were very happy about and some people were not very happy about, but I think it was a very good choice. And then on top of that, let's break down how we choose our Game of the Years. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. One of the ways we do it is we have everybody in the PCG team vote. They give about 5 or 6 choices of what they think could be the Game of the Year for them. And then we tally those votes, we deliberate a little bit, and we choose the Game of the Year off of that. And then all of the subsequent awards we give to games, the award is created for the game. So we look at a list of games and we say, man, we really want to honor these games that were just amazing in 2015. What do we think best characterizes those? So Rocket League won Best Multiplayer, The Witcher 3 won Best Single Player. We gave Invisible Inc. Best Design, Kerbal Space Program, Best Simulation, 80 Days, Best Writing. And then we have a series of personal picks, which are more maybe niche, you might say. And we have more coming.
Yeah, and basically how it happens, because I think there was some confusion over the personal picks. Like, we all put our votes in, we all agree on a Game of the Year, and then we, you know, games that got 3 votes, 4 votes, but weren't Game of the Year, you know, we think about, what do we want to celebrate about those? And then usually everyone has one game they voted for that no one else voted for. So that typically kind of becomes their personal pick.
Yeah.
They're not saying they think it's the best game of the year. They're saying they just wanted to add it in to the awards. They think it deserved recognition.
And some of those games were Prison Architect, Homeworld Remastered, Galaxy, Life is Strange, and Sybil, and then also D4.
Mine isn't up yet, but you probably won't be surprised to find that it's the other game I've talked about a lot this year that is not Rocket League. So it involves a lot of determination, and I am determined to post it tomorrow, maybe.
So if you want to see all of our Game of the Years and personal picks, we're posting one a day kind of through the holidays, and you'll be able to check PCGamer.com for all of that. But let's talk about some of our choices so far. So let's talk about the big one. Let's talk about Metal Gear Solid 5, because this is a game that, when it came out, I think we actually talked about it on the show for a longer period of time than Fallout 4. Like, there was just, I think most people would agree that Metal Gear is probably a better game than Fallout 4 overall. Maybe I'm too bold in saying most people, but
I would.
The hype machine around Fallout 4 was huge, but Metal Gear, for about 2 months after it came out, it was just mentioned on the show every day because we kept playing it and we kept enjoying it.
Do you love Metal Gear, Tom? Do you agree that it's better than The Witcher 3?
I only played about 20 to 30 hours of The Witcher 3.
Only,
yeah, I know.
So you can't form an opinion off of that.
I didn't beat The Witcher 3, let's put it that way. But I didn't beat Metal Gear either, but I played more of it than The Witcher. And yeah, I enjoyed Metal Gear. I think Metal Gear is my game of the year. If I had to choose between the two very specifically, I'd choose Metal Gear. That is not shooting The Witcher down in any way. It's just, The Witcher was an incredible game. It's just that Metal Gear was, it had so much to me. Like, there were so many different aspects to it, all of which I enjoyed, and I really just enjoyed the very, like, core gameplay loop of it, whereas it asked more of me in a way that I didn't personally enjoy, but I totally understand why people would.
I think what happened a little bit is that The Witcher 3 is so story-focused, you know, character-focused, and really good in that department, that people really developed a bond with it. So I think that might have to do with why some of the reaction from fans of The Witcher 3, which we all are, was so strong at our pick, because they had this really personal connection to The Witcher 3. They spent probably 100 hours or more with it, with these characters and stories. And Metal Gear kind of left me feeling a little bit colder. Like, I love how the game is designed, and I really liked playing it. But when I think about it, you know, I don't think about, like, oh, you know, like, I really loved this element of the story or this character or this, like, one line. You know, I think about, oh, I really loved the time that I was, you know, infiltrating the space and I completely screwed up and everything went crazy and I had to call in my helicopter. Like, it was those sort of player-generated stories. We actually did a whole article after it released of us just telling our stupidest stories from Metal Gear.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff sticks with you in a really different way than something like The Witcher does, where you think about the world and the places you went. So I think, you know, I think it was going to be between those two games. It was between those two games when we debated. I think it was a pretty narrow win for our overall game of the year for GTA. But so yeah, it wasn't like we were just like, screw The Witcher, but we immediately then gave The Witcher 3 our award for best single player, which can be kind of confusing because it's distinct from the overall game of the year. In that it just didn't get, you know, it didn't end up as our overall game of the year, but we wanted to, you know, give it an award for having a really great story and a great experience as just a pure single player experience.
Yeah, I mean, and The Witcher, it's gotta love. I mean, we gave it best single player, and you gotta love what CD Projekt Red did too, in just terms of support of that game. Not saying that, I mean, Konami has had its struggles, but they didn't abandon. They've been patching it. They've been doing updates, but nowhere near the level of what CD Projekt has been. CD Projekt has been really, really dedicated to The Witcher, and actually said that they will continue to be dedicated to The Witcher into 2016. much to the disappointment of anybody who was looking for Cyberpunk 2077 to show up earlier than next year. But
I'm really excited about that game, but yeah, I am no too. I don't think there's any way that'll be next year. Yeah.
No, I think they said 2017 for that, right? Like early 2017.
Sounds about right. Yeah. I'm excited for that though. I mean, just the idea, cause I'm not really that into like your sort of classical fantasy. So like a Witcher like RPG, but Cyberpunk is pretty appealing to me.
Yeah, no, it's appealing to me as well. There was something interesting though that I liked that The Witcher did, which is I like RPGs and single player games that make an established character strong from the beginning, if that makes sense. You know, in Metal Gear, it makes sense that you don't have all the best weapons right away because the whole plot is that you're building this base and you're building this army, right? But in The Witcher, if you had started the game and not had access to your spells, right, that would just be so weird, right? I'm really glad that they did that. I'm really glad that they made a strong character feel strong from the get-go, and it was something that I appreciated compared to Metal Gear, which, you know, it makes sense narratively, but it was still, like, a little bit of a bummer that, like, I didn't have, like, the best hand or the best whatever immediately.
Yeah. Well, even worse is the trope of, like, giving you everything right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then taking it all away after the introduction. And then you have to go find all your abilities.
Every Metroid game ever, basically.
Yeah. Metroid can do it. Everyone else.
Back off.
I'm tired of that.
Well, let's look at some of the other ones we did. Rocket League, we've definitely talked about. Let's talk about Kerbal Space Program for a little. Because Kerbal is this weird one where we finally get to give Kerbal an award, right?
Yeah.
After, 3 years in early access or whatever, for Prison Architect and Kerbal Space Program, both had at least 3 years in early access, we finally get to give these games awards for their 1.0s because they've been great games for a very, very long time. You know, it's not like they just suddenly became good.
I mean, that one was a no-brainer, I think. We've loved Kerbal since that whole, you know, early access saga started. It's a great game. And, yeah, we definitely knew we were going to give it something this year.
Yeah, it's... And for those of you who haven't played Kerbal Space Program, if you like science-y, space-y simulation games, it's a really, really accessible one. It's very fun and easy in Kerbal to just, like, watch a few YouTube videos and then just kind of jump into the game and love it. It's
well, yeah, it's... Well, I mean, unless you're me, because, like... My first several missions, when I stranded a lot of Kerbals in space, it was very sad.
But the game lets you do that. See, that's what I like about it. As long as you're okay with, like, failing and screwing up, it lets you do that. I don't know. I very much enjoy the learning of that game. It's so much more accessible than other sim games. And part of that is that the Kerbins are these dopey little things that are stupid and die, and it's great.
I also think the review that Phil Savage wrote, we gave it a 96%, which is one of the highest scores PC gamers ever given.
Yeah.
It's among them. I think that was our best review published this year. It's a great review. I suggest you read it. It really, like, I already liked Kerbal, but it sold me again on the importance of that game and what makes it so special.
Well, there's this interesting thing that's happening now, too, with early access games. Like I said, with Prison Architect and Kerbal, there are a lot of early access games coming out of early access this year. And that might be just the sentiment of... It might be just that these games are finishing, and we're kind of getting to the point where it's like 3 years after early access began or whatever, or the idea of it began. But it's also... This lovely, like, renaissance of these cool ideas finally being done, right? Like, I love seeing that, and I love seeing that they stand as testaments to why early access can work, and it's so nice to be able to honor them for that.
Yeah, it's Yeah, the story of definitely of Kerbal is a really positive one, I think. You and I were talking about how people were complaining that the price has increased, and I'm like, well, yeah, like the game has gotten, like it did the early access thing and got bigger and bigger and better, and there's mods, so, you know, I think, what is it, like $40?
It's $40. It's on sale right now, but it is 40 usually. And that's reasonable. 40 US dollars for those listening from other countries. That's totally reasonable for how big and engrossing that game is. I don't know. I feel like at a certain point people will just complain about price because they don't want to pay money, right? Like maybe that's reductive.
Well, I understand
that.
Money is hard and paying it is hard. But I think Kerbal is not one where I would complain about the value.
No, yeah.
It's a brilliant game. So, yeah. So I was glad we finally got a chance to give that one an award. I guess we could have while it was in early access, but it felt like I guess we should wait until it was sort of version 1.0.
And it connects back to something we were talking about on the show before of, you know, what if an early access game doesn't finish? What if it finishes badly, like in the case of where Darkest Dungeon kind of, they've righted themselves since then, but they went off on a path that their user base was really upset about, and then they had to steer back on to the right path, and I think I can at least personally say that I think they did, but they, you know, if you review an early access game and then it changes fundamentally, and it changes to the point where it's no longer what you reviewed, then that can be dangerous.
Yep. So what else did we, what other awards have we announced so far?
We just did today. We gave 80 Days Best Writing, which is another interesting choice because that was a game that came out last year for mobile. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a, like an iOS game. Not very typical that we would, award an iOS port to anything, but 80 Days is an excellent game. It's super cool. I highly recommend it. I still haven't finished getting around the world, but 80 Days is a wonderfully written game and just hides all kinds of like really fun stories. Like you really have to play it a few times. If I've heard from, I think even our reviewer said, if you actually sort of accidentally play it too well, you'll end up going around the world really fast and kind of missing a lot.
That's
but it's just a fun game to
make.
Yeah, it's a good game if you're like on an airplane or lying in bed with a laptop to just kind of, I don't know, be absorbed by. It's like being absorbed by a good book.
And for those of you who don't know what 80 Days is, it's essentially a choose-your-own-adventure book with a couple more gamey things, like an inventory management thing and that sort of stuff. But it's the story of Around the World in 80 Days, and it is really just like reading a book, but it's great. It's this very interactive novel, basically.
And your decisions presented. Your decisions do like matter a lot. They'll completely change the course of your journey. So, you know, it's not as if it's just sort of, you know, a novel where you can like flip to the next page to do something slightly differently. There's a lot of complexity to the stories.
Yeah, definitely. I like it. I'm really glad that it was also a game that came to PC because there's been this weird thing where as tablets themselves become stronger, the games that are able to be made for them are actually getting pretty nice, you know? Like 80 Days is a game that released on PC and didn't feel at all like it was, you know, restricted by a tablet. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you have stuff like the Surface, which is, I mean, it's kind of in this in-between zone of like tablet and PC. So,
yeah. I mean, the Surface Pro is literally just a computer. It runs Windows 10.
And there was, the intentionally lo-fi Downwell, which we didn't award, but I played a lot of, was another good, sort of mobile/PC game. That was great.
Yeah, I'm very happy with 80 Days. I haven't been able to dig into it nearly as much as I want to yet. So let's talk about a slightly I think this is the weirdest name award that we've given so far to me personally, is Best Design. And we gave that to Invisible Ink. So can you, I guess, walk me through as well what Best Design is exactly defined by?
I think it's really pushing aside things like story, writing, world, and just focusing in on game design, the rules of the game. You know, if you were to take everything out of it and make it a board game with kind of like just shapes as pieces and a rule book, would this be a brilliant, fantastic game? And I think I didn't play a lot of it, but based on, you know, talking to other people, talking to Chris Thurston especially, it sounds like Invisible Ink really succeeds very impressively on that front as a turn-based stealth game, which is pretty interesting. You don't see a whole lot of turn-based stealth.
Yeah, and it's another game that was in early access, right? I believe that Invisible Ink was in early access for a bit before it not nearly as long as something like Kerbal, but and it is a beautiful game too. It's another one of I feel like it's a game actually that a lot of people passed by a little bit this year. Maybe that's just my own perception.
Yeah, I think that might be the case, but as I understand it, it's a great game. I'll probably try to play that over the I got to test out this laptop, so for Wes, so that seems like a good game to play.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we can talk about that more as well when we talk about what we might be playing. So we've got a few more awards coming. We've got Most Original, Best Setting, Spirit of the PC, Community Champion, and then maybe a couple more? I'm not sure. And then, of course...
There's definitely a secret award, so...
Yes, there's the secret award that we won't tell you. And then everybody's personal picks are yet to come as well. And, of course, if you'd like to, go buy PC Gamer the magazine, and you'll be able to get a little bit of a sneak peek on all of that stuff. But you'll have to wait. We'll be doing one community award, or one personal pick, and one regular award per day as we go forward. I think it's been a great year for PC games, though.
It has.
Just to be
like last year and the year before. It was great, yeah.
So let's go to look at how good of a year it's been, our Cat Fantastic quiz. I'm really excited for this one. The name of this quiz is Year in Reviews, with an S at the end. Now, Tyler, you're kind of the U.S. head of reviews, right? You manage all of the who's doing what, along with Tom Sr. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, and Sam Roberts and all of them. You know what's bad? This laptop with the camera at the bottom of the screen means you're going to know if I'm trying to, like, type to find the answer.
There you go. We'll catch you. So the theme of this year's, or this final Cat Fantastic of 2015, is I gathered a bunch of statistics and numbers and weird things about our personal PC gamer reviews over the year. So I'm going to be asking you questions on scores different games got, or how many games got certain scores and stuff like that. And we're going to see how well you can do. My guess is you're not going to... It's a lot of granular stuff, so I don't blame you if you haven't missed some. Let's say it that way. So the first question, and you might know this one because we are doing a piece very soon of like our highest scores of the year. But how many games this year did we give a 90 or above?
A 90 or above? Jeez. Yes.
And everyone at home, please play along. Whatever your guess is, type it into the chat. Guess in your head, whatever you'd like.
I mean, I always take note whenever it's, you know, a score is going to be 90 or above because we want to talk about it since we don't give a lot of those normally. Kerbal, other games that we did, Metal Gear for sure. I can't remember the Witcher score. I don't know. I guess I'll say 8.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
So for these, we're going to give you like a little, like a range. If you get within 10? Like,
I don't know.
It's 14.
Oh, 14. Oh, wow. I guess we liked a lot of stuff this year. It was a good year.
Yeah, it was. It was a very good year. 1490s and above. And the highest scoring game of that was Kerbal.
Yeah.
With a 96. To give you context, we like, have we, how, we've given like 3 96s ever or something? In the decades of PC Gamer?
Sounds about right. So PC Gamer US and UK used to have different reviews and scores, which at some point we decided was really silly and made no sense. But, yeah. So what were some other ones?
Up in there? So 96 was Kerbal Space Program at the top, and then the next number down was 93. So Kerbal maintained the top, like, was three numbers above the second place, and that was Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought so.
Then we also had a lot of games that we've actually already mentioned. Homeworld Remastered, The Witcher 3, and Pillars of Eternity, and GTA 5 were all at 92.
That makes sense.
StarCraft 2, Legacy of the Void, 80 Days, mm-hmm. Undertale, and then this is a weird one, Out of the Park Baseball 16. Those all got 91s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
People really liked Out of the Park Baseball. Also, Out of the Park Baseball was one of three baseball games we reviewed this year. So, good year for baseball games.
Chris Livingston and I are always looking for baseball games to play, so we're definitely influencing the PC Gamer content, hashtag content.
And then the bottom of that is Nuclear Throne, Her Story, Warhammer End Times Vermintide, and Rainbow Six Siege all got 90s.
Uh-huh. All good games.
Yeah. So well, here's a follow-up question to that, though.
Okay.
How many games this year did we give the Editor's Choice Award to? And for those of you who don't know, we don't give Editor's Choice just to, like, an arbitrary score. It can be, it's almost always a high-scoring game, but it can be just a game that we really want to say, you know what, this is a really cool, unique idea, this is a very cool thing that we want to honor a little bit further than the score.
I'm never going to get this. I have no idea.
There were 14 above 90, just to give you context of where to go off there.
What was that?
There were 14 above 90, so...
Oh, so they should have all gotten Editor's Choice Awards, unless I forgot to check a box somewhere. So, including games like in the 80s, I don't know, 20? 20. I'm going to go with 20.
Close, it was 22.
Yeah. So pretty close.
So, as a follow-up real quick, there was one game that we did give over 90 and no Editor's Choice to.
Oh, really? Who was that?
That was Homeworld Remastered.
Oh, that might make sense because, it really is a remastering of classic games. So,
well, I'm going to just stab your logic in the heart right there because we did give Grim Fandango Remastered an 80 and an Editor's Choice.
Well, it's different for some reason, Tom.
It was also the lowest scoring game to get Editor's Choice was Grim Fandango Remastered. A couple other Editor's Choice ones that were not above 90 were Galaxy, Fallout 4, which both got 88s, Chaos Reborn, Rocket League, Ori and the Blind Forest, Crypt of the Necrodancer. Those all got 87s. Else Heartbreak got an 86, and then Guild Wars 2 Heart of Thorns got an 85.
If I were allowed to re-review Rocket League for us, it would get 100, 101, and a double Editor's Choice Award, a Platinum Editor's Choice Award, which is actually better.
Just real quick, to Mr. Hertz in the chat, this is not a pre-recorded show. We just take Twitch chat questions at the end. I'm calling you out on being just completely wrong about that, but let's move along with the quiz. So those were the great games of the year. The list of 22 games I just said were probably our favorite games overall of the entire year. And there's going to be personal picks that were outside of that, but, those were some of the best of the best. Now we're going to go on the grimmer side.
Oh.
How many games this year got a score of under 60?
Under 60, I don't know. Maybe it's another 20.
Close. It was 19. That was a good one. So 19 games got under 60, and we can maybe spare reading all of those names out, because a lot of them are just obscure names that you just honestly won't remember or know. But can you guess what the lowest scoring game of the year was?
That Sonic game?
That is correct. The lowest scoring game of the year actually came in just this month. It was Sonic Lost World, which got a 32.
That sounds about right.
To give context, the next game up from 32 was 45, and that was RBI Baseball 2015. So we had a baseball on either end of the spectrum there.
Hey, there you go. I don't think that was a very good baseball game. I was not the one to review that, but cool. Sonic is my game of the year too. Clink, clink. That's not true. It isn't. I didn't play it.
Well, I don't think you need to. So here's another interesting question that I liked that coming up with. There were four games that this year in 2015 we reviewed twice, and that does not include episodic games.
Can you name at least two of those games? You're saying games that we reviewed in early access and then reviewed when they released?
Exactly. What game? So can you name two of the four games that we reviewed in early access and then again at their actual full release? And when we do an early access review, we do kind of like a in progress. It's not scored. We kind of give an outlook on how we think it will turn out. Maybe it was. We've kind of slowed down and stopped doing early access reviews since the beginning of the year.
Skyshine's Bedlam. No, did we do it? No, we didn't do it early. We did a preview of that. God, I don't know. what came out of early? A lot of stuff came out of early access this year.
We were just talking about early access games earlier, man.
I don't even know if I can name one. There are so many video games, Tom.
There are four to choose from here. I'll give you a hint. Two of them we reviewed within the last couple of weeks.
Oh, God. What did we put up in the last couple of weeks? I'm not doing anything.
Tyler. Oh, man. Tyler's cheating.
My mind's all full of Christmas stuff.
The chat got one of them already.
What? Oh, Dirt Rally.
Yes,
yeah. Oh,
that
and,
is one.
And KSP, although we didn't review it in early access this year.
Yes, so we didn't review Kerbal Space Program in early access, but Dirt Rally was one of them. We reviewed that in April, and then again, like right after I made this quiz and I had to revise it.
Yeah, what were the other ones? I'm not going to get them.
The other three were The Magic Circle, which had
the
quickest jump. It actually released in early access in May and then released full only in July, like 2 months later. Legends of Eisenwald, which also had a quick one, early access in April and then full release in July. And then finally, Nuclear Throne, which went into early access in January, or at least we reviewed it in early access in January, and then full release just a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah. I knew all that. I just wanted to see if you knew.
So let's keep moving. These are some more numbers-based ones again. What score did we give to the most games this year? Which one number did the most games get? And if you can, how many games got that score?
It's either 70 or 80.
It's actually technically both. 80 was number one and 70 was number two.
Yeah. Because like that's this psychological thing where you're just like, it's good. It's not that good. your mind just kind of defaults to like 70, 80.
Yeah. And then, 80 had 14 games, 70 had 12. The next one I thought was interesting, though, 75, which is another just kind of like, right, your mind defaults to it number, was tied with 87. And 87, we had 9 games reviewed at 87, but we only had a collective 3 get 88 or 89 total. So we had 9, like, it seems to me that our reviewers apparently 88 and 89 is a harder number to get than either 90 or 87.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost either, like, either you really liked it and you're like 90, or you thought it was pretty good, but like it kind of feels weird to give something an 89, right? Where it's just like, ah, you were so close to a 90. don't look up how many games I've scored 69, because I know it's several.
Well, here's an interesting question too. Between the numbers of 54 and 93, which one number did we never give as a score this year?
Between which numbers again?
54 and 93.
54 and 93. What
there's
one
like,
number?
There's some, you know, there was the 96 of Kerbal, and that was the only one that went above 93. And there was a bunch that were like jumping around under 54. But from 54 to 93, there was only a single number that we did not give out.
I don't know. 55?
Actually, your owner 05 in the chat got it. It was 56.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That was the one.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah. I thought that was interesting. There were a bunch of ones that we only gave. Let me pull up my cheat sheet here. There were a couple that we only gave one score out to, like 62, 63, 64, 66, and then 79 and 89 all only had one. Hmm. But, yeah, the 56, as you get lower, you know, we tend to not review games that are not worth reviewing to a certain degree. And
yeah, that tends to, maybe we should just rethink the whole scale. actually, we always are thinking about it, and it's tricky.
So here's we'll finish up with this, and then an interesting statistic question that does not have to do with reviews. I just really like seeing it. But for those of you who do read the reviews on the site or the magazine, we always do kind of like a punny, what we call a deck, right? It's the little red text just above the review title. And we try to make a pun that has to do with both what we think of the review and then also, or what we think of the game, and then also what the game has to do with itself. So I'm going to read you the deck of some reviews, and you have to tell me what game it came from, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So
my favorite part of the process is writing the pun.
It's pretty good. So for example, as an example, Animal House was the deck for the Five Nights at Freddy's 4 review. So how about the deck Blue Balls?
I don't know. Was it some kind of, was that one of the baseball games?
There were a lot to choose from.
Yeah. RBI baseball, that was the one that wasn't good. I have no idea.
Blue Balls, I'll give you a hint. We've already mentioned it.
We've mentioned a lot of games. I mean, that sounds negative. I don't know. We didn't review any pinball games. Was it Rocket League? That's a weird. That'd be weird if that was.
Rin Skaru got it in the chat. It was Sonic. It was Lost World.
Oh God, obviously. That's stupid.
Yeah, that Sonic game, as you put it.
Why do we write these? Okay.
So we already brought it up then. The baseball games. There were two. We used two decks that I thought were particularly good for the baseball games. Funny Ball and Fever Glitch. And can you determine which ones are for which?
I remember brainstorming these. Funny Ball has to be for the one we liked, whichever one that was.
We actually liked two of them. Two of the three baseball games we were okay with.
Dang it, Tom. Why do you have to make this so hard?
Yeah, I know.
And then RBI had to be Fever Glitch.
RBI was Fever Glitch. RBI Baseball 2015. Funny Ball was for Super Mega Baseball Extra Innings.
I see. I knew that was the one. I just couldn't remember the name. It's a complicated name.
Okay, let's go for one more. Flop Gear.
Flop Gear. Flop Gear. I'm not even sure what the pun is.
You'll know the pun when you hear the game. I'll tell you this. Flop Gear as in Top Gear.
Oh. what's the worst racing game that came out this year? I'm gonna know. What was a bad racing game this year? I don't get any more eggnog until I get this right. I have no idea. Was there a Top Gear game?
No, there was. I'm sure there was, but we didn't review it. It was actually for F1 2015. And that was, I believe that game got scored so lowly just mainly because of it was terrible, terrible port is what I remember.
I think I remember hearing it was like an okay game, but pretty bad port.
Which is always unfortunate. So let's close out the Cat Fantastic with, this is not reviews related. I went to Steam Charts. Originally, this wasn't going to be originally about reviews. And I found the top five games with the highest peak players on Steam this year, according to Steam Charts. So it might not be entirely correct. And something like, this is going to be, I'll just give this one away. Something like The Witcher 3 is going to be underrepresented in this because a lot of people are playing it through GOG. And they're playing it DRM free.
It's true.
So what do you think the top five games with the highest peak players on Steam this year are? There's got to be a couple that are gimmies, right?
Dota 2.
Yep.
CSGO.
Yep. Those are the top one and two. Dota 2 peaked in February with 1.26 million players at once. And CSGO peaked in December, actually, with 800,000 players at once.
And then it's got to be like GTA, Fallout 4, and Team Fortress 2.
You actually killed it mostly. Fallout 4 was number three, with 470,000 when it came out. And GTA 5 was number four with 360,000. And I think a lot of people probably played that through the Rockstar, like, direct, right? So that's also another one that's probably underrepresented a bit. Number five, I think, is you're not going to get, and I'm really proud of. So if you think you know, it's a more obscure one, and it happened in June with a peak
Football
of
Manager.
A June with a peak of 160,000. Football Manager wouldn't be a bad idea, actually. 160,000 players it peaked with. That's impressive to me.
In June, what the heck came out in June?
I'll give you a hint. I talked about it on the show a lot before. Like, not before we started doing the show consistently. Basically, I brought this show a lot, and then it came and it took Steam by storm and went to a certain degree.
I thought all you talked about with was Hearthstone. That's not on Steam. What did you talk about a lot? That's hard.
No one's gotten it in chat yet. Ark is not a bad guess, but no, it's not Ark. The answer is actually Terraria.
Oh, you did talk about Terraria a lot. Well, that's cool.
In June of 2015, Terraria released its 1.3 update to the game, which is
the biggest
update it got in like 2 years, and it peaked at 160,000 players at once, which is huge and insane for a game that's been out for that long. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's very impressive, if I may say so. I'm a
Tom
huge Terraria
does love
fan.
Terraria.
Yeah. So that was our Cat Fantastic for the last Cat Fantastic of 2015. Tyler, thank you for letting me poke and prod you about your own reviews.
I'm the winner.
You are the winner. So let's move along to, let's talk about some games that we missed this year. I already talked about it. I missed Undertale, man. I didn't play Undertale.
Dude, well, almost no one else did on PC Gamer, and it makes me really sad. James Davenport did, or is still playing it. But everyone else was like, oh, I'm too busy playing whatever, Fallout.
I think I'm actually going to buy Undertale in the Steam sale. It's like currently $7.50 instead of $10, but it's such a negligible difference anyway. I think I'm going to pick it up.
Just don't read about it. You might have already read too much about it. Don't read anything about it. Just play it.
I haven't watched much at all. I've been trying to keep myself pure from the experience.
Phidos is Crypt of the Necrodancer. That's one I didn't play that I really would like to. I'm going to download that.
Yeah, Phido, that's also a really good one. I was interested in playing that. and I haven't touched it, and I'm really sad because I've seen like the Mega Man mod for it, and I've seen all these other really cool things that have come out of it, and I'd love to go back and play.
I haven't beat Downwell. I got to beat Downwell. That's a good game.
Downwell. Oh, that's a good call out as well. Yeah, you were into Downwell for a little bit.
Yeah, it's really fun, but it's really hard also.
I want to jump into actually The Witcher more. That was a game that I played a lot of, but I felt like I didn't get the full experience out of maybe. Like I said, I'm not a huge, like, open world games are, it's hard for me to hold my attention on open world games, but.
Yeah, I have trouble too. Like, I put down Metal Gear at some point and just, I haven't picked it back up yet.
Yeah.
And I keep meaning to, but then I just launch Rocket League instead. And then like, 6 hours later, you know, the sun's coming up. It's time to go to work.
And so, if anybody in the chat has games that you feel like you've missed out on this year that you'd like to suggest to your fellow PC gamers, or, you know, anything like that, or games that you think maybe we overlooked, please shout them out in the chat and mention them here. I also really miss and am sad about not playing Duelist as much as I wanted to.
That's that card game you wrote about a while ago, yeah?
Yeah, Duelist is this. I honestly like it more than Hearthstone. I think it's. I know. I've said that in my write up about it. Duelist is basically a collectible card game, free to play collectible card game that's in open beta right now. But every time you summon a creature down, it puts them on a gridded board, and you actually then are playing like a tactics game with them. And it's sort of Final Fantasy Tactics combined with Hearthstone, and it's very, very fun. It's spelled Duelist with a Y instead of an I. And I played a bunch of it when I first found it and when it first went into open beta, and then Hearthstone did their expansion, and they started doing all these announcements, and it kind of pulled me back in a little bit. But I really want to dedicate some time to Duelist.
Decrypt said Mad Max, and that's actually one I've been thinking about, because it seems like I could just sort of... It seems like a good, like, holiday break game where, I don't know, like, I might not necessarily want to commit to something that I know I'm going to want to spend, like, 100 hours in.
Yeah.
Like, going back to The Witcher 3. I could probably just, like, tool around in Mad Max and have a good time for, you know, whenever I have downtime.
Mad Max was a game I've never played it. I just didn't even touch it. Like,
yeah, I didn't either.
It came out... When did it come out? It came out, like, right after another big release, and I just kind of had no desire to pick it up.
Yeah, I think Metal Gear...
I think that was it.
...was out around the same time.
And it wasn't really that... Everything I saw of it, it looked like a fun, kind of, if slightly generic, open-world game, but everyone I heard who talking about it said that it was really, really... good. It was fun. It was not, you know, anything incredible and life-changing, and it's not going to get called out in any Game of the Year awards, but it's a very fun game. So I'd be interested in picking that up.
Shadowrun Hong Kong is a good one from Dawn of Morning. That's one that I did not get a chance to play either, because there are too many video games. But I do want to check that out. I started playing Wasteland 2 a while back. I want to pick that back up. Because I was like really disappointed by Fallout 4, so I was like, well, you know what? I'll play Wasteland 2. That'll be my fix.
Divinity Savage Caco Demon says, don't think you can buy Divinity Original Sin Standard Edition on Steam anymore. You can't, but the Enhanced Edition is the same price and better. So you don't want to look for the Standard Edition. And if you haven't played Original Sin, it did come out in 2014, so we can't really talk about it here. But we could talk about the Enhanced Edition, which just came out recently, and I'm super excited about.
What changed in that?
A lot. They added voiceovers to a ton of characters that didn't have it. They redid the UI. They added controller support, which matters to some people because, like, I played the entire game... Controller support and split-screen support, excuse me. Because I played the entire game with one person who was right next to me the entire time, And now when we're going to play the enhanced edition, we're just going to put it up on the TV and have two controllers in split screen. And it's going to be a much kind of more intimate experience rather than like staring at screens opposite each other.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They also added a bunch of new, they redid the ending of the game. They rewrote the entire ending. Because for anybody who's beaten the original one, this is not really spoilers. The ending of the other one was basically just like a big dragon fight. And they just, and then it, the game was just like, hey, you're done. And now they have like an actual ending to the game.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a very worthwhile update that they did.
Yeah. Let's see, it's more Mindy Blankesio. I don't know how to pronounce that. so many caps says City Skylines, which I did play a bit of, but I could always play more of that. That feels like a game I'll be going back to for a long time.
The name of the game we mentioned in chat, by the way, was, or before, was Duelist, spelled with a Y. Someone was asking in chat. Yeah, there's a lot of games. This War of Mine, did that come out in 2015?
I'm not sure.
This War of Mine was I have not played either, and I want to pick it up, but I'm not sure when that came out, actually.
That came out in 2014. Okay. It came out in November of 2014, though, so pretty close.
Yeah, I'm interested in, there's just a lot of like really good games that came out this year. So the question then becomes, Tyler, what do you think you're going to be playing all holiday? What is the game you're going to dedicate your time? Is it just Rocket League? Is that just the answer?
I'm probably going to play a lot of Rocket League, to be honest. But I'm also going to be up at Lake Tahoe with my laptop. And if I have downtime there, God, honestly, I'll probably play Civ 5. That's like my vacation trip game when I'm traveling.
Cool.
If I'm on a plane or something. But I don't know. Now that someone brought up City Skylines, I could probably play that a bit. Like, I don't know. I guess I could dive into The Witcher 3 or finish Metal Gear Solid, but I feel like I might have more fun for right now just kind of getting through a bunch of smaller games.
That's fair.
I don't know necessarily what those will be. I mentioned Invisible Ink earlier. That's one I should play. Play more 80 Days. That's good. I also never played, speaking of the personal picks, I never played D4, and I think Swery is a hilarious writer and creator, so D4, Dark Dreams Don't Die, I want to play that.
Those are some good choices. That game, actually, D4, which Phil just gave his personal pick to, right? It's just...
Sam, yeah.
Oh, excuse me, Sam. It just, like, completely went past my radar.
Yeah, it was kind of a surprise that it was coming out on PC, but then it did. Unfortunately, it'll sort of, you know, probably never be finished, but maybe Swery will find a way. Yeah, I just think his sense of humor is great.
Yeah, I'll be in Mount Lassen, or at Mount Lassen, for a lot of the break. So I'm going to be bringing a laptop with games like Undertale. I'm really interested in playing more 80 Days, like you said. I want to dive into something like The Witcher, but the aforementioned game that I can't tell you about till January is also going to be taking up some of my time, so I might not want to do that. There's a lot of games that just, like, I want to play that are small. Like, I want to play Nuclear Throne, too. Basically, just games that I can be in a cabin in the mountains and just enjoy with, like, other people around and not feel like I'm losing myself, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have stuff that you can, like, share with people, even if only one person is playing at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
You should play some of our favorite couch co-op games.
Yes. That's a big one, I think, is there's probably going to be playing a lot of Gang Beasts with my brother, a lot of Duck Game, a lot of Tower Fall. You know, we talked about couch co-op games a lot on this show, and it's not for no reason. These games are just incredible. They really, really are good.
Duck Game is super fun. We had a lot of fun playing that in the office, the old office.
Yeah, Duck Game is super silly and great. And Towerfall is just, oh my good God, Towerfall is just incredible. It's just one of my favorite games ever. It really is. I can stop pretty gushing great. About Towerfall.
No, never stop gushing about Towerfall. It's a great game.
Honestly, I think Duelist is actually the game I'm going to be actively trying to play the most this break, because I've really wanted to dedicate time to it, and I just haven't had a chance to. And the games, if anybody is a fan of like card games like that, the games are shorter. They're only about 10 minutes at the most, and so it's much easier to get into something than like in Hearthstone if you potentially queue into a control warrior and the game takes 25 minutes and suddenly your life is gone.
Hearthstone, suddenly your life is gone.
That could be on the box, man. I'm interested in a lot of little games, as you said. I think that so many big things have come out that I've spent so much time on this year that I'm interested in just enjoying some small experiences while I have the time to do so.
Yeah. Sorry, I have to communicate in the chat with a hockey fan. All right.
Beat LA being hashtag beat LA in chat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move right along to the Twitch chat Q&A. Anybody who has any questions, not just about the games of this year or the topics we've been talking about, but anything on your mind in PC gaming this year for the last time of 2015, let us know in the chat. Tag us with @PCGamer, and we will see your question. Those of you listening to the podcast or watching on, sorry, we can't read your mind like usual, and you should come watch live at twitch.tv/PCGamer, 1 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesdays, if you have any questions for us. And if you don't, please keep listening to the podcast and watching on YouTube. We love that you do it. Keegster asks, how are you doing? I'm doing well. How are you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing okay. I'm doing terribly. There's so much to do, but I'm doing okay.
Your owner 5 asks, how do you feel about RCTW? I think that means Roller Coaster Tycoon World. I think we've answered this before. Basically, it's kind of too early to say, because originally it looked pretty terrible. And then
I think Chris Livingston probably knows the most about it. Yeah. I don't know. They did a beta and then they delayed it to fix some stuff, right?
So yeah. So it's kind of in this weird place where it's like what we've seen, I'm not excited about, but also they specifically delayed it to fix some of the problems from what we've seen. So who knows right now? Savage Cacodemon asks, what about Middle-earth Shadow of Mordor? That game also came out in 2014, and I actually played my fill of it back then. I was really, really happy with that game.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
If you haven't played Middle-earth, you might be able to get it cheap on sale right now. It's a fun experience. It really is. That tactical goofy shooter, I can't remember what it's called, but Evan and a few of you had a preview of it.
That's called Due Process, I think.
Yeah, exactly. The one where you siege like rooms. All procedurally generated.
Yeah, it's cool. It is kind of like a lo-fi Rainbow Six Siege, with randomly generated levels. When I saw it at PAX, they were completely rebuilding it with new graphics. So it was looking really good. But I'm not sure where they're at with it. I haven't checked up on it recently. But we had a lot of fun playing it, Evan and I.
Yeah, I'm excited to try Due Process whenever it does come out. Fido asks, has PC Gamer ever considered funding a PC Gamer game? I think that we would need to put out Gravy Trader before anybody let us put out any other game, for those of you who are old readers of the magazine.
I mean, Gravy Trader would be everyone's game of the year, because it's the best game.
We're just going to let that joke go over as many people's heads as possible.
JBJ Blaze asks, what is your gaming platform and peripheral of the year? I'm going to go with PC and the mouse. What do you think, Tom?
I think that's a strong choice. I'm going to go with PC and the keyboard.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Not what I would have said, but that's fair.
Best Steam deal. I haven't seen many of the Steam deals yet. All I know is that the Witcher series is like half off to 75% off or something like that. There's a lot of really good games right now. Metal Gear Solid, I think, is like 40% off. Not 40% off, $40, which is like 20% off. Like 30% off. So still, it's discounted. Whatever it is. I'm just gonna move on.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been like scouring the store yet, but I'm just gonna say Rocket League 30% off because no matter, even at full price, it's still the best deal. That's how that works.
Cesar BG asks worst 2015 game that was high expectations, and BattleTank09 asks also most disappointing game, which are similar. Honestly, for me, I'm gonna go Armacrog. I was really, really, really looking forward to Armacrog, which was that the spiritual successor to the Neverhood. It's kind of this claymation point-and-click adventure game. I was very, very interested in Armacrog, and it got delayed, and then it got delayed again, and then it came out, and it was a buggy mess, and it was incredibly short, and it was not at all what people were hoping for. So that was my biggest disappointment of 20. Sure.
All I've been doing for the last 4 months is whining about how I don't like Fallout 4. But you know what's going to happen is I'm going to like find some time during the break and I'm really going to sit down and play it some more, and then I'm going to get really into it. Be like, I was wrong. I don't know. It's like still I've played like 13 hours or something, and I'm just it still just doesn't, I don't feel anything for it. I don't feel any connection, any emotions.
That's a feeling that a lot of people have had. It's not just you, I don't think. There's a lot of people that Fallout 4, I haven't played much of it. It just doesn't hold much appeal.
I gotta try again, Tom. Because I know some people really like it. I gotta figure out what it is.
It was interesting. Fallout 4 was an interesting experiment on the reaction of the internet too, because it got announced, what, 6 months ago? And it just came out. And like there were no delays, there was very little lead up to it, and then suddenly, boom, here it is, it exists, you're playing it. And then a lot of people had a negative reaction to it, but the hype train was just so powerful, you know?
And yeah, a lot of people genuinely liked it, so I don't want to diminish their experience.
Oh
It's
yeah.
great. It's great if they like it. I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to find a way to really enjoy it more. But I might just play The Witcher 3.
BattleTank09 says Armacrog 56 for critic score and 5.2 audience score on Metacritic. I think, let me look up what we gave it as well. Not to hammer on, we gave it a 46. So yeah, that
Yeah.
was a disappointing one, unfortunately. I'm considering a Steam controller, but not completely convinced, says Death Brunta. I would say that's a rational reaction to have to the Steam controller. I am excited for what the Steam controller will be like two versions down the line. If you want to be an early adopter, you got to expect the problems right now, basically. It looks cool, but I think the next version is just going to be like better.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, I haven't tried it, so if Wes were here, he could tell us, but he's again visiting stupid family or something. Thanks a lot, Wes. I
Yeah,
hope you're
seriously.
watching.
Well, let's talk a little bit about next year in general. We will be off next week for the no show, like I said, which is very sad. I know you'll all miss us terribly. But we will be back the next week, the first week in January, with the PC Gamer Show. In January, we have a lot of good things coming. We're actually going to have, hopefully, somebody from, this is not locked down yet, but we're probably going to be getting somebody from the development team on XCOM 2 to come talk with us on the show.
Sweet.
We'll also be talking to the guys who are developing Tharsis at some point. And then we're hopefully also going to be getting the team from Duelist, which I know I just mentioned because I'm very excited about that game. Hopefully they'll be coming on as well. So we're going to have a lot of good guests. I'm really excited to kind of ramp up the show and who comes and joins us next year. And I hope you guys will be excited to watch and tell all your friends about it and that sort of stuff. Once again, we do release this if you can't watch it live every day. All of our past episodes are archived on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/PCGamer and also on our iTunes podcast. You just look for PC Gamer Podcast in iTunes. But thank you very much, everyone, for watching. Thank you for joining us all 2015 year long. Be sure to tune in not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after that. at 1 p.m. Pacific time right here at twitch.tv/PCGamer. And continue checking PCGamer.com for all of the rest of our Game of the Year awards. Tyler, do you have any last shout-outs for 2015 to end of the year?
Good job, year. glad you're over. Looking forward to XCOM 2. Bye, 2015. What are you looking forward to the most, Tom?
What am I looking forward to the most?
Yeah, what game?
Probably XCOM 2. I'm really excited for that.
It's kind of hard not to be.
It is.
But there's going to be a lot of cool stuff next year. So.
And if you want to hear more about XCOM 2, we did talk about it on the show last year. Or last week, excuse me. Oh, man, we're almost going to say last year, and that'll be a real...
Yeah.
Such is life. Everyone see have a great holiday. 15. Everyone have a great winter break. We'll see you in 2016.